We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I will Minnesota on Thursday.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sick of Minnesoting. I'm not tired of feeling like I'm Minnesoting. I'm not tired of falling in love with Minnesoting.
I love the way you fully practice singing the song, like your Monday song, or in this case, your Thursday song, for like, you know, at least like 10 minutes. And I never, not once ever before we start recording do I hear the script changes. I like that. It keeps me on my little toes.
Thank you. Could you tell? I obviously have been planning those script changes far in advance.
Oh, yeah.
They were not spur of the moment.
Oh, yeah. What's that song?
It's Thursday by Jess Glynne.
Thank you, Jess Glynne.
Yeah.
Really helped us out today on our mini-sode Thursday.
Woo!
What a little crazy thing we're doing here today.
Happy third episode of the week, baby.
I know. Thank you all for your patience with us this week. Someone mentioned to us, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I should have like remembered your name. Someone messaged us and said something along the lines of like, thank you for not pulling a Ryan Murphy and handling too big of topics too fast. And you know what? That was a big compliment, and I really appreciated that. So thank you guys for giving us the time to do this.
Heck yeah. Now, if you didn't listen to our BuzzFeed episode on Monday, this might be confusing. Yesterday, we did have our episode on Hold On to 16 mm-hmm. come out, but this minisode is about I Kissed a Girl.
Yes.
Just, you know, just swap those episodes in your brain.
Yeah, you guys. In my brain is probably going to take a minute to adjust. I keep like reading emails and then being like, what happened in this episode?
I know. Also, especially because we recorded Hold On to 16 like pretty early too.
We did. It was like last week on Wednesday. It was like today last week.
And so all the emails about I Kissed a Girl, I was like, oh man, I feel like we talked about that episode an eternity ago.
I know. Because it has been. But thank you guys for being patient with us. Without further ado...
Hello, my name is Ian Allred, and I'm a mini Gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Lena Knatzer, and I am also a mini Gleek.
Let's hit it!
Up first.
That was my whistle tone.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
I cannot whistle tone at all.
Oh, well, I can. You just heard it.
I know. That's what I was saying. I was admiring your power, truly. First, we have a message from Elsie.
Hey guys, it's Elsie, she, her. I just had to fact check the whole Congress thing because I know way too much about it and maybe you'll find it interesting. But so Congress actually only meets about 140 days out of the year, which is like two and a half weeks a month. They also get the entire month of August off. And a lot of those weeks are 4-day weeks, so they have long weekends. And a lot of congressmen do go home every weekend and they do like congressman stuff in their district. They also legally have to live in their district to represent it. But so it would be possible for him to be going back and forth a lot. Does it make sense for him as a person? Not really. Not at all. But also to nitpick, if we're supposed to believe this is taking place in November 2011, November is election month, but they only vote for the House of Representatives on even-numbered years. That's all.
Ryan Murphy.
Okay, so that, you know, I know nothing about how that works.
And if that's a third of the year, you could easily, like, I think, split your time.
Yes, that makes sense. That Bert could still be in the show as much as he is and also be a congressman.
Because I don't think, well, he's not a main character anymore. Now he's just like a guest star, which like, oh, ouch my heart. You know, and I think that makes sense with the amount of time he's been in the show so, like, recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. We'll keep track of it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. What the heck?
And this episode takes place in 2010.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's actually like a little time capsule.
Glee's actually a period piece for the year before it.
Yes, absolutely.
They do a lot of research.
I love that.
That makes literally no sense because all of the songs are always like current top 40 hits. They're all psychic.
Why didn't they do like House of Representatives? You know, is that like an odd year?
Someone else was like, why didn't he run for like state Congress?
I know. It's just like immediately so national sense. Government.
Seriously, like, quite dude. A jump.
I know. It's like even Leslie Knope tried to do that for years and like, seriously. You know.
And she did city council.
Yeah.
That was like her big step. And she was Leslie Knope.
And she wasn't even on city council very long.
No, one season. Come on.
I love that stupid show. Well, Elsie, thank you so much. You know, I think it's important that we Americans, there's a bunch of people who aren't Americans who listen to this podcast, you know how Congress works. So, Elsie, you're helping us take those steps.
And we absolutely do.
Oh, yeah.
We're glad that you could educate our listeners.
Yeah.
But Leanne and I already knew all of it. We for sure did our research.
Yeah, no, definitely. I know everything about everything.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew this about me.
I did.
Name a thing.
Rhubarb pie.
I know all about rhubarb pie, actually.
I know.
Yeah. Because I know everything about everything. Duh! Yeah,
obviously.
Elsie, thank you so much. Up next, we have an email from Story.
Hello, Lena and Ian. Okay, seriously though, why is Rachel the one singing the lead with Santana during I Kissed a Girl? Brittany is the most obvious choice since she's Santana's girlfriend. Mercedes could also work because her and Santana have gotten very close during the whole Trouble Tones arc, and Mercedes, as we've seen before, is incredibly loyal and supportive to her friends and is always there when someone needs her. Quinn would also be a great choice because her and Santana have been friends for years. Frankly, Santana's been closer to Sugar Mata than to Rachel lately.
I love... Yes. What a great point. Thank you, Story.
As for the rest of the episode, particularly the Santana plot, I agree with everything you said so much. The entire episode is so not about Santana, even though she's going through this huge traumatic thing. Because there is so much wrong with this episode, I'm going to focus on one thing that bothers me the most. Finn, the man who outed Santana, tells her that the reason he cares about what happens to Santana, a lesbian, is because one time he put his dick in her. I understand that Santana was the first person that Finn had sex with, and that he probably does have an emotional connection to that, and I'm not saying he can't feel that way. But the way he projects that onto Santana, having sex with Finn was probably kind of traumatic for Santana. She had huge issues with internalized homophobia. Santana had sex with any and every man that asked. Like, there was probably so much intense self-hatred and shame involved in every sexual encounter Santana had outside of Brittany. But, you know, Finn cares that he had sex with Santana, and that means that Santana has to do whatever he says. Honestly, there is not enough time in all of human history for me to talk about how much I hate this episode. Santana being forcibly outed to the entire world? She just needed a couple of days and a few extremely performative songs, and she's over it. Finn literally being the person who outed Santana fairly intentionally? It doesn't matter, because Finn had sex with Santana one time, and that means that he cares what happens to Santana. Homophobia exists? It's fine, because girls kissing is actually very sexy, and as long as you can cater to the male gaze, everything is A-okay. It makes me really sad, too, because this episode specifically changed the way I saw Finn for the rest of the show. I can't even really enjoy Finn in earlier seasons, because his character was so thoroughly ruined for me in this episode. Because now I can only see Finn as this man who hardcore inherited Will's savior complex, particularly geared toward women, who never faces consequences for his own bad behavior and instead gets to play the role of the good guy no matter what. Every time Finn tried to help Santana in this episode, he was actually manipulating or blackmailing her to get her to do what he thinks is best. And his whole motivation is the fact that he had sex with Santana one time, and he's the one who caused this all in the first place. And yet at the end of the day, Santana has to be grateful to Finn Hudson because, oh yeah, he actually was right. She just needed to be forced out of the closet to the entire world before she was ready. Ugh. Okay. I'm a survivor. I will survive. Wink, wink. Forever recovering Gleek. Story. She, her.
I don't have anything to add to that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I completely agree with everything you said, Story.
Yeah. Story, agreed. All of these thoughts are excellent. I 100% understand why so many people hate Finn Hudson.
Yes.
I get it. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people do say, they're like, I think the reason that people like Finn is just because they like Cory Monteith. And I mean, like, maybe that is true. I just, like, the writing for the show is so inconsistent that whenever a character does something like this that is so, so awful and so, like, not how I feel like their character normally is, I'm always just kind of like, oh, well, that wasn't the character, that was the writers. That's yeah. Like,
no, absolutely.
Hear me out. Not to make this a Smash podcast, but TV Smash, NBC Smash, short-lived, the best character on that show is Ivy Lynn. And Ivy Lynn does, like, the absolute... Not, she doesn't do the worst stuff in the show, but she does some bad stuff.
Like, objectively, like, I don't want to be Ivy Lynn's friend.
Yeah, and yet... The inconsistency with Ivy Lynn, like how she's written, is so great that every time she does an awful stuff, I'm like, well, that's just because the writers are idiots. Mm-hmm. And then whenever Ivy does a good thing, I'm like, that's Ivy.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel with Finn.
No, totally. Where I like, I have like ownership over the things he does well and like the kind things he does and the bad things he does. I'm like, I'm overlooking this. Which is so... and I get where people are coming from, for
it's
sure.
Hard. I mean, like, he's not a real person.
So no, like, absolutely.
But it is hard because I get what people are saying, where it's like, he does very much, you know, this was a very popular TV show, and he does convey the whole, like, a cishet white male doing the bare minimum, like, we should be grateful for that.
You're so right, yeah.
And I do understand why that is damaging. But then also, there are moments where Finn... is such a good guy, and I care about him so much. Like, we were talking about this the other day, just you and me. Like, the first half of season one, how he is, like, so willing to be there for Quinn
an angel.
Like, she also is... Like, that's a very stressful situation. Yes. She also treats him so terribly. Yes, and yet absolutely. He's like, oh my gosh, I got you pregnant. Like, I'm going to give up everything to be there for you. And he, like, cares so deeply about it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if he was a real person... I would have more issues with him, but as a fictional character, I'm always like,
yeah,
I'll just blame Ryan Murphy for the crappy stuff he does.
I feel a similar way about Puck in the opposite sense.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Where a lot of people are like, I think you guys are too hard on Puck, or I think we even.
No, this is a very good segue because this is what our next message is about, but finish your thought.
Oh my gosh, it literally is the next message.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue.
Perfect segue. But people are often like, they think that we are too harsh on Puck. And I think in the same way that we especially have a soft spot in our heart for Cory Monteith, have some animosity towards Mark Salling.
Yeah.
And that's hard. But you and I are also not, and this is art, you know, it's hard to like look at it objectively, because I'm a person with my own biases and my own experiences, and like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's do this next message, because we could not have picked who planned this. Me? I swear to God, I pick like the order of the emails, and sometimes they go together and sometimes they don't. And when they go together, I never really intend it like this.
But man,
when they do, they do.
They go together like ramalamalama kadingada ding da dong.
Together forever, like shoo op shoo wada wada dippity boom di boom.
Chang chang changity chang shabop. Here's Kathara.
Hi, my name is Kathara. My pronouns are she, her. So after watching the I Kissed a Girl episode and listening to your podcast, I have something to admit. I deserve to be taken to court, and here is my confession. I like early seasons Puck. There, I said it. He can be a dick, but he's funny, and I like his voice the most before my Blaney boy joins the club, and he has some controversial plot lines, and he does not fare well in the later seasons, but I have such a soft spot for a troubled boy on a positive arc, even in real life, let alone on TV, and it's time that I speak my truth. He was so good and well-meaning in this episode, and his rendition of I'm the Only One lives rent-free in my head. Rent-free. Thank you. The defense rests his case, Your Honor. Consensual kisses on your forehead. Love you guys. Bye.
This message is chicken soup to my soul. I just think it's very, very fun. Kathara, thank you. Thanks for adding on to our point before. But
really, I really came in clutch.
And I agree. I love a bad boy on an upswing. You know, I completely agree. It is hard for me sometimes with, you know, Mark Sandling.
Yeah.
But I, and especially recently, like, all of his stuff towards Shelby is obviously creepy, just like in general, but it's also definitely not Puck's fault.
Yeah.
And he is just, he's a kid, you know? You know, and he's just, like, being actively abused.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if y'all can forgive us for loving Finn Hudson, we'll forgive you for loving Puck.
Yeah, Kathara, I'm not going to sue you. Some people don't forgive us for loving Finn Hudson.
That's true.
And listen, I will call Finn Hudson out for everything he does wrong ever. I promise you guys. I promise. Gosh. Do you hear me? I promise.
But Cory Monteith is just so emotionally vulnerable and endearing.
He is.
Gall.
I saw a TikTok the other day of Ryan Murphy. Like, they were all watching the pilot together, and Ryan Murphy was, like, watching Kurt do his first audition and actively he was just talking about Rachel, and, like, he was talking about Lea Michele. And then Finn or Cory Monteith was, like, doing the movements with Kurt on screen. And it was like, this guy is such a sweetheart. I can't help it.
I think that also is just, like, very true, like, as an actor. You know, have you ever seen a show that you have, like, seen multiple times before and there's a character you do not like, and then suddenly someone is playing it in a certain way and you're like, wait, why am I super empathizing with this character?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
But I do genuinely think, I agree with, you know, all the people that write to us that the way Finn is written is there's a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think even beyond the fact that Cory Monteith was just, like, such a kind and loving person as a person, I think also his performance is just, like, so loving and so open and so endearing.
Yeah, you can tell Cory Monteith is trying to make it. Yeah. Like, even the coming out stuff is coming from a place of loving Santana, like, as an actor. And I know that, like, objectively that's a bad thing, but Cory Monteith, you can tell, is trying to do it from a kind place, you know? Which is, like, convoluted and weird, and I get that, but I don't know.
I know. I just, like, his performance is constantly fighting against the writing.
Yes! Oh my god!
And his performance is so strong that I just can't help but get swept up into it. And then on the other side of it, beyond the stuff we know about Mark Sandling as a person, I also think he's a bad actor.
Agreed!
And so, I have, like, because Puck does have redeeming qualities, but I have a hard time finding them because I think his performance is bad.
I agree.
Whereas Cory Monteith's performance is so good that I, like, only focus on the redeeming qualities.
Totally. Kathara, thank you so much. We're not taking you to court today. Up next, we have an email from Lauren.
Hi, Lena and Ian. So I just listened to the latest episode and I cannot stop laughing to myself about the fly who interrupted your podcast to tell you it thought I Kissed a Girl was great. I particularly loved its voice. I have a feeling this very fly was the literal fly on the wall in the Glee writer's room, and that it knows something we don't and has a soft spot for all the controversial episodes or plot lines. Maybe it can have its own segment on your podcast called What's the Buzz? Tell Me What's a Happening, in which it spouts out the most unpopular Glee opinions imaginable. Anyways, I'm Lauren, she, her, from Stratford, Ontario, Canada. I feel weird saying this every time I send you an email, but I just really want to get that international listener music. If you do select my email to read aloud in your mini-sode, Lauren, it's your lucky day!
Ooh, ooh.
International listener!
I have have such a complicated relationship with this episode because as much as I agree with everything you had to say about it, I often find myself making excuses for it or creating my own headcanon for why things happen a certain way because I want to like at least some of it. For example, I really want to understand why Finn and Santana have such an emotional connection during Girls Just Want to Have Fun, because I really like the idea of them connecting and understanding each other on a deep level to the point where, even though Finn never apologized and basically handled everything incorrectly, Santana knows he cares and is trying his best and decides to stop fighting herself and Finn and experience a moment of grace where she forgives him without the apology and decides to radically accept her current situation. But despite excellent acting from Naya in this scene, there is just no way this scene and this song can convey that, and let's be honest, that wasn't the writer's intent. That's my headcanon, though, because I really care about the friendship between these two characters. I think what upsets me most about this episode is that it had the potential to be so good. I thought the last episode was setting us up for a story that educated people on the complexity of coming out and how it isn't just about self-acceptance, but that people also have to take their safety and well-being into consideration. Finn outing Santana and saying nobody cares, and then realizing that Santana's sexuality has been weaponized against her in a campaign ad and that she has been excommunicated by family members could really allow him to realize that he got this all wrong and that him invalidating her very real fears is almost as traumatic as actually outing her. I wouldn't have even minded if half the episode involved Finn grappling with that. But instead we got half the episode being about Finn being his straight white male savior, and it is just so gross. The other huge missed opportunity is the one-on-one conversations I would have loved to see between Santana and just about anyone. The two times she and Finn have a one-on-one, she's actually pretty honest and vulnerable, and yet rather than him realizing that maybe this type of conversation is the very thing she needs right now, Finn uses their first one-on-one to blackmail her into attending his lesson of the week, and the second one to lure her back so he can sing to her some more. I didn't even mind him saying you are my first, because even though it is totally gross, I genuinely think that was just the writers giving themselves a pat on the back for remembering a plot line. Between these two characters from a previous season, because let's be honest, that rarely happens. The fly may or may not have intercepted this email. The other thing I wanted to mention, because I actually love this, even though I hate the male gaze aspect of I Kissed a Girl, is that whoever did the line distribution for the I Kissed a Girl number was very clever. I am at peace with this song being in this episode. I'm resigned to the fact that this song was always going to be Santana's coming out episode just because of what Glee is. Obviously, I Kissed a Girl is not a song sung from a gay woman's perspective, and that's why I like that it was a duet between Santana and a straight female character. Obviously, the character should have been Tina, but you've already gone over that. I don't think it was an accident that basically any lyrics that were about experimenting or the male gaze, just my experimental game, hope my boyfriend won't mind it, etc., were sung by the straight character, allowing Santana's lyrics to be more about her sharing her truth. If they're going to do it, that is absolutely the right way to do it. I even loved the celebratory aspect of it between all the girls, and I feel like that would have read as more of a supportive, empowering celebration had we not been subjected to the boys drooling over it. I actually think this could have been a really lovely number if the writer/director took a page from the book of whoever distributed the lines of the song. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit for it, but it just feels very intentional. Anyways, I love your podcast, and I love the way you handled this episode. I also loved your necklace story. Nothing beats live theater. I live for those stories. Cheers, Lauren. P.S. I think it is hilarious that Naya Rivera and Matthew Hodgson were apparently dating at the time he wrote this episode. I also think it is kind of unfortunate because she was known to advocate for her character, and I do wonder if she felt she couldn't do that in this instance because she didn't want it to look like she was crossing a professional boundary. Then again, I'm not sure there is much she could have said because the issues in this episode don't really have anything to do with her character, it's more everyone else. As much as I don't love the episodes that Matthew wrote, he seems like a good dude. He actually made an appearance on the Snixmas Charity Drive YouTube livestream that Jen and Kevin organized last Christmas in Naya's honor. If you haven't checked that out, I highly recommend it.
I, first of all, had no idea that Matthew Hodgson and Naya Rivera had dated. That is wild.
Yes.
Like, you're the person who told me that, Lauren. I have a thought. I actually love what you have to say about I Kissed a Girl, and I completely agree. It feels very celebratory, and I think you're so right. Where it is ruined is the cutting to every single male member of the group. You guys, there's a fly on my microphone. I'm going to try and take a picture of it.
I truly thought you were trying to start a bit. There is fully a fly on your microphone.
No, he's saying something. What's he saying?
I think that I Kissed a Girl should have just been... I don't remember. Is this his voice?
Yep, it was
Teen okay. Girl Squad. Oh, it's his Teen Girl Squad voice? I think it should have showed the boys more because I think it's very important that we know how they feel about this because they're part of the club too. So they have a say in how Santana should feel about coming out. And so I want to see their perspective and what they think of this number. I don't think it showed them enough.
Because being gay is so sexy.
Because
each tree fly.
He will. He's a fly. That's their whole bag.
Wait, that was so funny, you guys. How did that happen? What was I saying? Where it's ruined is... Well, that fly rudely interrupted me.
Terrible.
Where it's ruined is the male gaze. And I think you're so...
The male right. gaze? It's very sexist of you.
Yeah, the male gaze.
If you only care about the women gaze in this episode? Okay.
Stop.
Like, this is the lesbian outing episode. We don't want the male gaze.
No. We don't want the male gaze. G-A-Y-S.
I'm so sorry. Go back to your
thought. Come on. My train of thought is rickety, as you know. Give me a minute. Where it's ruined is the male gaze. And I think, Lauren, you're so right when you say that the person who's distributing the lines obviously is like thinking about it by giving our canonically straight character, listen... I think Rachel Berry isn't straight, but that's my opinion. I think they're being thoughtful about it. And I think it would have been maybe saved, controversial take maybe, if they would have done the number alone. Like if it was just the girls celebrating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. And that's what Lauren's message makes me think.
Yes, I would have to see it. Yeah, I definitely think totally. It would work a lot better.
Why? Why do you want to see it?
Because I have the male gaze. And it's very important to know how men are going to view the number.
No, I totally hear. We need a male perspective, you know?
Exactly.
Lauren, thank you so much for that message. I really appreciate it.
Also, on to the necklace story real fast. I posted because I was editing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason we postponed this minisode is because we were very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was... editing our episode on Hold On to 16, literally backstage of Pirates of Penzance, like in between scenes. And I posted a picture on our story of me fully in costume editing the podcast. Mm-hmm. And someone just responded to it in all caps, the necklace.
That's the one, you guys.
That's the one. Now the infamous necklace.
Now it's got yarn.
Yeah, now it can't be broken.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Up next, we have a message from Chris.
Hey guys, Chris, she, they, sending an email as well, because I have a lot to say, but I needed to say this vocally first. When the Glee Club says, no one cares that you're gay, that angers me so much because it is so obvious that Santana cares. She cares so much that she's gay because she has struggled with this her entire life. And there's so much shame she carries and insecurity she carries for the sole fact that she is gay, and to have the people, like her support group, look at her and say, no one cares, totally like invalidates all the struggles she goes with because she cares. That's why she hasn't told anyone. That's why she is so angry that this has gotten out without her permission. Like, I just want to, like, strangle all their necks at once. Like, come on now.
Chris, thank you for this message. 100%. Yeah, I think it's really dumb. For a show that genuinely for its time was like a pioneer in queer television. But for a show that like loves to pat itself on the back for like how great it is at queer representation. And that's freaking like the showrunner is a gay man. Like you would think it would occur to him that he was like, oh, it was probably very scary for him to come out. For many reasons, and yet he's like, well, Finn is correct. No one cares that Santana is gay, and she shouldn't have any worries about coming out. And that's, like, even if you... They live in, like, Lima, Ohio, which is very clearly in the show. I don't know what it's like in real life. I've never been there. But in the show, like, we very clearly... We should take a trip, a pilgrimage to Lima. And the show is clearly, like, a very... conservative town. And so like there's plenty of reason to believe that she could be unsafe, but even beyond that, even if you aren't living in a place that's like super conservative and like homophobic, oh, and also, you know, like Kurt was ruthlessly bullied for 2 years. Even if you aren't living in a place like that, there are still so many anxieties and fears that come from coming out. It is very dismissive and stupid.
And here's I think they handled Kurt's coming out, I think, much better. Which I think is a good segue, who the hell planned this, into an email from Emily.
Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Emily, she, her. I just wanted to share my thoughts on Santana's coming out story. As a queer woman who is still in the closet, this story is very close to my heart. Santana has always been a very special character to me. She helped me come to terms with my own identity, and it really upsets me how carelessly the story was handled. First of all, I'd like to say that I do not like Finn as a character. No hate to Corey because I adore him with my whole heart. I just want to preface this by saying that bullying is never okay, and what Santana was doing to Finn was 100% in the wrong. You should never be unkind to other people, no matter what you may be going through. But what Finn did to her was so much worse. As I mentioned, I'm someone who is still in the closet, and if someone had outed me like that in high school, my life would have been over. My parents may have kicked me out of their home. I for sure would have been sent to conversion therapy or something like that. And up until this point in the show, we have not met Santana's parents. We don't know if they're accepting or not. Thankfully, they were, but Finn outing Santana like that truly could have ruined her life. And there's the aspect of when you come out of the closet. Not only do you need to be in a safe place, but you need to be emotionally ready. If I was outed right now, I wouldn't be facing such dire consequences as I would have in high school, but I'm nowhere near an emotionally safe place for that to happen, and it seems pretty clear from the show that Santana was not ready either. I just wanted to take a second to contrast this situation with Kurt from last season. Kurt was in a somewhat similar situation to Finn, in the sense that he was being bullied by someone who he knew was gay. Kurt easily could have outed Dave, and honestly, it probably would have made his life easier. But Kurt never even considered doing this because he knew what that would mean for Dave. Kurt went through much worse bullying than Finn ever did. He was literally sexually assaulted and had his life threatened, and yet he never tried to ruin Dave's life to make his own easier. Finn is a character that frustrates me very much because you're right when you said that him outing Santana did feel very calculated and cold. He never apologized. I don't even think the show thinks what he did was wrong. Even back in season 1, we saw Finn using the F slur to Kurt when he was frustrated. I'm not saying that Finn wasn't provoked both times. What I am saying is someone who is willing to use another person's sexuality to bully them or make them feel badly is the worst kind of person. I just can't believe that Finn watched his brother go through literal hell the season before and yet can be so callous to Santana's situation. He had to have known he was completely uprooting her life by doing this. Anyway, sorry to all the Finn fans, please don't come at me. He definitely has some sweet moments, but as a whole, he's not a character I've ever quite forgiven. Also, we stand Kurt in this house. What a kind-hearted king. Another thing I really wish is that we could have seen more of a friendship develop between Kurt and Santana. If you honestly expect me to believe that Kurt would not have gone to Santana after this happened to check on her and try to comfort her, do you even know Kurt? He is the sweetest, most caring character on this show, and I think it would have been a great storyline to see them become friends because of this. I think they would have made quite the dynamic duo, and I'm sad that's not something we ever really get to see. At the end of the day, it will always make me frustrated that Kurt's coming out story was treated with such respect as it should have been, and Santana's is treated so carelessly, as though queer women just have an easier time coming out, which is so far from the truth. Anyways, thanks for listening to my rant. I love the podcast. Emily. P.S. I'm very upset that you did not talk about the Faberi moment and I kissed a girl. Apologize and play the jingle.
Listen, I hear you, and we should play the jingle. But I didn't mention it specifically because the whole number was so performative that the Faberi moment truly was like salt in my wound. And I didn't like it, and it frankly hurt me as a Faberi shipper. They're like my OTP, you guys know. So that's why I didn't mention it. So I'm sorry, but also that's my there's where I was coming from with that. So.
Here's the jingle.
Faberi Watch.
Oh yeah.
Faberi Watch.
Speaking of Kurt and Dave Karofsky, Kurt, literally a couple of episodes ago, you just reminded me of this, Emily. He said to Dave, I don't believe in outing. So, like, someone on the show said that and, like, believes that and believes enough to put it in the show. And then they turn around and 2-3 episodes later, they pull this shit. That is wild.
I don't know if the writers even count what Finn did as outing Santana. This is not me saying that that's correct, because he absolutely did. But like, and a lot of people.
I see what you're saying though.
A lot of people pointed this out in the recap. It's like of an ad is coming out that's going to out Santana, and Santana slapped Finn because she thought it was all his fault. Like the writers,
it is
exactly the writers seem to that's view so it funny. As like Salazar is the one outing her, which he is.
Yes. And he's but the one he only, actively trying, you know.
Yeah, but he only has that information because Finn did it first. And they seem to think that, like, because Finn wasn't like, hey, Santana, you're a lesbian and you're in the closet. They think that because he was like, hey, Santana, you're in love with Brittany, that, like, it was different. I don't know. These writers, like, clearly don't think that what Finn did was that bad. And that, like, Salazar is the villain, which he is, but he's the big bad, and then
Finn is the like, monster of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Finn's the monster of the week.
Yeah, I get that.
It's all very dumb. Yeah. It's all very, very dumb.
That's silly, silly.
Truly, the way that Finchel, how they're written, that they can just do anything and get away with it. And these writers are consistently like, but these are our heroes.
Yeah.
Is bonkers.
I know. Agreed. Emily, thank you so much for this message. Up next, we have a voicemail from AJ.
Hey, Lena and Ian. This is AJ Shive from Nebraska. And I had to stop the podcast at 1 hour, 10 minutes, and 10 seconds because you guys keep throwing in John Mulaney quotes. And I'm not complaining. I'm a fan of him too. But this means that you guys, like, know his bits and stuff. So I want to challenge you guys to assign the Glee characters, like the main ones, John Mulaney quotes. I would love to hear what you guys think who is who. So here's consensual forehead kisses. Okay. I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
That's so funny. We do know John Mulaney. Do you know how I learned about John Mulaney?
How?
You, in front of the podcast, Kennedy Jones, came to a party right after you had gotten back from a John Mulaney, like, show, right?
Kennedy went to his show.
You didn't?
I did not. She recorded the whole thing.
She recorded it and gave it to you.
And gave it to me. Mm-hmm. Not, like, okay. She didn't videotape it. She just, like, sound recorded it. Off her phone.
Yes.
Yes.
Which it came out later.
Yeah. And
you
then,
can go watch it on Netflix.
Yeah. And then we freaking watched, was it Kid Gorgeous? Yeah. And we were like, oh, this is literally the show she went to.
Yeah, literally. But that's how I first heard of John Mulaney, is because you and Kennedy Jones were talking about him at a party. I think it was like, was it your birthday party? No. It might have been like a welcome back party from
Florida.
I think so.
Possibly.
Could be. But Yeah, I love John Mulaney. So I have a bunch of quotes that I have like assigned to characters. Mm-hmm. I frankly don't think John Mulaney's vibe fits a lot of Glee.
Yeah.
I think their vibe's very different, which is not bad. Neither of those are bad in that way. But like, I just had a tough time like finding one for like Finn per se, you know?
Oh, I have one for Finn.
Do you? Oh, well, I'd love to hear it.
I had a hard time. I never found one for Kurt, which is the one that yes. I was like, come on.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, but, oh well.
Do you want to go down the line and see?
Great. Just go every other?
One at a time? I think okay. We have about the same amount.
Yeah.
You might have a little more than I do, but you go first.
Okay. Mine are literally just in a random order because I wrote them as they came to me. So there's no rhyme or reason. The first one is probably the weakest one on this list. I just want to apologize right off the bat. The first one is, I used to see the ghost of a little girl in a Victorian nightgown. That's Brittany S. Pierce.
That's good. That's really good. That's the weakest one.
Yeah.
Hell's bells. This is, imagine this as Santana to Rachel.
Great.
You're like the kid at a sleepover who, after midnight, is like, it's tomorrow now. Get out of here with your technicalities. Just because you're accurate doesn't mean you're interesting. That's Santana to Rachel.
This is Principal Figgins.
You spent it already!
You spent it already!
However, in that scenario, Principal Figgins is both the college asking for money.
Yes, and also and the person being like,
you spent it already!
Oh, I'm seeing John Mulaney a week from Sunday. You don't know
really?
That. Yeah, in Las Vegas.
Oh, have fun.
Sorry.
It's okay. I wouldn't have had fun there.
Do you want to go next?
Yeah, I guess
I'm going
so.
With my roommate.
I played baseball for 5 years, and I was a bench warmer for all 5 years. If you were never a bench warmer, I cannot express to you the humiliation of every Saturday morning putting on a pair of breakaway pants and never having a reason to break them away. Then they're just pants. That is Tina Cohen Chang.
Heck yeah. For Sue, I have the one black coffee bit.
Uh-huh.
Where his dad drives to McDonald's.
One black coffee, same motherfucker.
And then I also have, not funny!
That's good.
That's also Sue.
I gave this one to Rachel. Oh, I quit drinking because I drink too much and I black out and ruin parties.
This is Santana. I'll keep all my emotions right here and then one day I'll die.
That's good. Anyone who's seen my dick and met my parents needs to die. I can't have them roaming around. I gave that to Finn Hudson.
That is the quote that AJ was talking about that we mentioned in I Kissed a Girl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I have, this is Tina, specifically just season one Tina, before they were like, we don't know what to do with this character. Mm-hmm. You remember being 12 and you were like, no one look at me or I'll kill myself.
I gave this one to Kurt. I don't know that it's very strong. I just like this quote. I was always the squarest person in the cool room. And alternately, sometimes the weirdest person at the mainstream table. I was going to say main stage. Annoying.
On the main stage. The weirdest person on the main stage. This is Rachel. Do you want me to kill that guy for you? Because I will totally kill that guy for you.
This is my last one. I have, no one wants to applaud the penis of a 34-year-old weirdo. Do I even have to say who that's about?
Is that Will Schuster?
Of course it is.
Well, I have a lot more. Let's just blow through these. Okay, another Santana one is, I'm so horny and angry all the time. Emma Pillsbury, my vibe is like, hey, you could probably pour soup in my lap and I'll apologize to you. Will Schuster, a hero is any man who does his job.
And Finn Hudson is a bozo as any man who cheats on his wife.
Quinn Fabre is, you marked that one gay, right? Oh no, was I supposed to?
That's really good.
And then Will Schuster and specifically Finn Hudson is, gay people are humans. Yeah, we'll think about it. And finally, this is my favorite one. Oh, gosh. Our friend, The Flash, Barry Allen, Lauren Bacall. I have two. The first one is, excuse me, I am homeless, mm-hmm. I am gay, mm-hmm. I have AIDS, mm-hmm. and I'm new in town.
Dude, Barry Allen is so new in town.
He's That's so good. New in town. Literally. And the other one is, eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
Is that one also Barry Allen?
That's Barry Allen!
Eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
There you go.
Very good. Well, AJ, thanks so much. It was fun to do that. I sure love that, John Mulaney. Up next, we have a message from friend of the podcast, Kaylee Kaleship.
Hey, besties. It's Kaylee Kaleship. I just wanted to quickly just appreciate you guys for a second. I moved into my dorm for college this week, and I've been missing home and familiarity so much. And honestly, like, I was listening to I Kissed a Girl, and it literally just made me calm down for that, like, hour and a half or 2 hours, however long it was. I felt at peace, and I have not felt like that since I got here. So seriously, like, thank you guys so much for being that familiarity for me and helping me feel closer to home. And yeah, I love you guys so much. Kisses on your foreheads. Love you so much. Bye.
Kaylee, I can't express to you how much that means to me to hear. Like, I know what it's like to, you know, I know what it's like to move away from home and be in a new scary place and start school. And listen, I hated that shit. Like, it hurts. And, like, doing all that is, like, not for punks. So, Kaylee, I want you to know you're really brave for doing this. And any of you who are going back to school right now, like, it is so scary, but I promise it's worth it. I'm so grateful to hear that you can take comfort and find some familiarity in this dumb, stupid podcast about this dumb, stupid show that we all love so much, you know? Like, that just means so much to me to hear. So thank you, Kaylee, for saying that.
Yeah, Kaylee, we love you. We're glad we could be in your dorm with you in some Hell capacity.
Yeah! And all of you who are going back to school. Man, listen, y'all. I hate school, but I promise it's worth it. Unless it's not.
What an ending. On that note...
Unless it's not! If it's not, then... Like, I'm serious. If it's not for you, then don't. It's a capitalist, like, trap. Yeah. Any hoosers. Well, you guys, that's your mini-sode. Do you want to play the relative pitch game?
Heck yeah!
It's been so long. What songs are in this episode?
We got Perfect by Pink. I'm the Only One by Melissa Etheridge. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's the Greg Laswell version.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jolene by Dolly Parton. I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. And Constant Craving by K.D. Lang. Okay, so it looks like I am first this week.
You know what I
want? Hopefully that's true.
You know what I want you to sing?
What?
Jolene.
Oh, God. What key is this song in? Come on. Get Beast's voice in your head. Dot Marie Jones, help me out. Here we go. Jolene. 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. I don't know the song very well, if you can't tell. sorry, Dolly.
Well, you got Pfizer, so that makes sense.
It was a direct attack on Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm a 9-to-5 guy. So I think Jolene is a B. We'll see if that's true. I'm doing such a bad job with this recently. Oh, not even close.
Really? Dang it.
I don't know what's happening to me. I was a full step and a half off. That's a D, so... Do I Kissed a Girl?
Hell yeah.
It's the namesake of the episode.
This was never the way I planned. Not my intention. I got so brave, drink in hand. Lost my discretion.
Boom.
It's not what I'm used to.
Ooh.
Just wanna try you on. I'm curious.
Ooh.
Us for you.
Ba-da-bow.
Caught my attention. kissed a girl and I liked it. Taste of her cherry chapstick.
Okay, so you think that it's not what I'm used to is an F, then a G flat.
Okay.
You're a step sharp, half step sharp. Sharp.
Honestly, I'd rather be sharp than flat with that. It's like a belt. I'm just kidding.
What are you saying? I was fully a step and a half flat. What are you trying to say, Lena? So you guys can follow us on social media at Recovering Gleek _ podcast on TikTok and Instagram, at Recovering Gleek on Twitter. Our episode on Hold On to 16 came out yesterday. So ahead of the curve, go check it out.
Also, speaking of Trey Plutnicki, who just walked into this apartment, Ian and I both guest starred on an episode of his podcast.
True.
Mistletoe Secret. You guys should definitely go check it out. It's very fun.
It's a great time. We're talking about the Hallmark movie, The Christmas Spirit.
Mm-hmm. If you guys like ghosts, if you like Christmas, if you like the X-Men.
If you like Coach Bolton
from the High School Musical trilogy. Seriously, go check it out. It's lots of fun.
Yo, that movie's wild.
You can also watch the movie with us.
Yes, we have a bonus watch-along episode where you can start the movie at the same time as us and just hear us mostly just talk about the fashion choices, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it makes a lot of Star Wars references. It's a lot of fun.
Well, if you have thoughts on Hold On to 16, send them to us. Voicemail, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Mm-hmm. Email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. This Monday is our birthday. What?
Mm-hmm.
Hippie birthday to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going live on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be going live at 1 p.m. Mountain. What is the time?
Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Standard.
Which, like, you guys, I'm so sorry, but that's where we are.
Gosh. It's easier to go off of Pacific Time, which is noon Pacific Time.
Yes, noon Pacific Time.
So just figure that out.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
We'll probably,
for some of you, it'll be like the middle of the night. You do not have to watch.
Yeah.
We're just going to be eating snacks. Cake. Yeah.
We'll probably hang out. We'll probably tell stories.
Yeah.
If you guys want, I don't know. Should we do like a Q&A thing?
That's the thing. We don't have a plan.
Yeah.
It's just just us eating cake and being live.
So yeah. Would probably be fun.
If you guys have any ideas, feel free to like go on the live and comment and be like, hey, I have this question or do this.
Mm-hmm. Should I wax Ian's legs?
Don't. Do not suggest that she wax my legs. It won't happen. I will say no.
I know. I have like asked to do that before, I think, for like an SCU live, and you were like, over my dead body.
Because it's just like, I'm down for a bit.
No, totally.
But that's growing just back leg hair takes a while.
And it's also like, it's just you being a pain, you know?
That's true. That's also accurate.
Well, yeah, so head to the live. Also, if you guys have, like, you can tweet us if you have, you know, something.
Yeah.
Well, we will see you guys later. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Sorry again that this episode is late, but also you're welcome for 3 episodes this week.
Yeah, come on.
We will see you guys all later. Have this mini kiss on your mini forehead if you consent to it.
Bye.
Go spread some glee.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.